You know, everything in life has a purpose. I mean, what's the purpose of a car? What's the purpose of a car? Yeah, transportation. Give you a ride. What's the purpose of a bus? Huh? Okay. Can haul people, right? What's the purpose of an airplane? Okay, all kinds of answers. I can tell y'all a real smart class. It's basically to fly. It's usually to haul people or something. Now let me tell you, before you were ever born, God had a purpose for you. We look in the Old Testament and we see that, you see with Abraham, you see with Jeremiah, that before they were ever born, God had a specific purpose for them. And you are no different. Before you were ever born, God knew you. In Psalms 139, it says you were knit together in your mother's womb. Now, when God brings anything into existence, He has a purpose for it. And God certainly has a purpose for you. Every single person here tonight, God has a very specific purpose for you. Now, there are many things about life that you probably do not know. Some of you are wondering, well, what do I major in? Who am I going to marry? What kind of job am I going to have? Where am I going to live? There are a lot of uncertainties about life, but there are some things that are very, very certain. And that is, God created you, and He has a very specific purpose for you. Now, we know from the Scriptures that God created us, and the purpose for which He created man is to have fellowship with Himself. God wants your fellowship. And He made you for that. You're not like a little battery toy that you wind up and goes off until it runs out of juice. You're more like an electrical appliance that has to stay plugged into the source. And God never intended for you to try to live life apart from Him. God made you for Himself. And you must stay plugged into God if you're going to fulfill the purpose for your life. And if you do not, you're going to find life will be very, very miserable for you. Because when God created you, He created you to have fellowship with Himself. If you do not do that, then you're going to find you're going to be just like a duck in the desert. You know, you'll never fulfill the purpose. And a duck may be out in the desert, but it's sure not very much fun for him because there's no water. And the duck was made for water. God made you for Himself. Now, Aaron has shared a tremendous testimony with us tonight. You see, when God created us, He put us in this world. First, He created a man named Adam and a woman named Eve. Now, those were real, real people. And they lived in this earth. God put them in a beautiful garden. He provided everything they needed. But He told them there's one thing they must not do. They must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan came along. And incidentally, God said, if you eat thereof, you will surely die. Satan came along and said, you will not surely die. If you eat, you will be like God. God is trying to hold something good from you. Now, that's one of His favorite lies with university students. And that is, Satan comes and tries to tell you that if you really give yourself to God, God's going to hold something good from you. You know, He's probably going to make you be single and go to as a single missionary somewhere where you don't want to go. And we're always thinking, we really have difficulty believing that God is good, that God loves us, that what God does is very best for us. He knows exactly the way He created you. He knows the abilities He gave you. He knows what you'll find the most fulfillment in life, because He knows exactly how He made you. Now, Adam and Eve sinned. As a result of that, They are our forefathers. They were the representatives of man. As a result of that, we were born with this bent or lean towards sin. When we got old enough, we did that. You lied to your mother, right? There's probably not anyone here who hasn't done that. There are things that we did in life that we know were wrong. We were separated from God. And unless something happens, we'll be separated from Him for eternity. Now, Aaron has shared with us tonight how he came to know Christ. You see, when God made us for fellowship, but yet we've sinned, we can have no fellowship with a holy God. God could have left us in that condition and gone on His way because we deserved to be separated from Him because we've disobeyed Him. But He continued to love us so much, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, who never sinned, who had no sin of His own. And since God had said, the wages of sin is death, either I have to die for my sin or someone has to die for me. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, so that if we believed in Him, since our sins are placed on Him, we get credit for what He did. And that's why it is absolutely essential that you come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now, some people think, well, you as Christians are pretty narrow. You're not very broad. Well, you know, truth is narrow. When an airplane comes into the airport out here at Oklahoma City, and occasionally I fly somewhere, and when the people in the control tower tell that plane to come in on a certain runway, I want that guy to be very narrow in his thinking and come in on that runway. I don't want him to decide, well, I don't think that's the only way you can land in Oklahoma City. I'm just going to move over here 100 yards to the right. You will find that's true in so many areas of life. You're going to find that out at the university. You're going to go in a physics test someday. You're going to get a paper back, and there's going to be a minus 5 or a minus 10 out beside it. You can go to the professor and say, oh, but I was so sincere. I thought that was right. Let me tell you, you will find out in a hurry at the University of Oklahoma, sincerity and truth are not equal. You can be very, very sincere. A number of years ago, I read of an incident in Houston, Texas, where a nurse went into a hospital, working in this hospital, walked into a room and gave a man a shot. He had an allergic reaction. In a few minutes, he was dead. She walked into the wrong room. She wept. She was so sorry. They tried to do everything they could, but they could not save that man's life. She was very, very sincere, but she was dead wrong. Now, God has said there's one way for all men. It's not just for Americans. It's for the whole world. There's only one way any man, any time in history will ever come to know God, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. Once you have the disease of sin, there's only one cure, and that cure is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John 8:44, if you do not believe that I am He, the Messiah, you will die in your sins. I remember years ago Dr. R.G. Lee telling the story of sitting on an airplane. Dr. Lee pastored a church in Bellevue, Tennessee for a number of years. Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And he was sitting on this plane and he was sharing with a man about the Lord. And he shared John from the Gospel of John. And the man said, well, Dr. Lee, you make it sound like someday, if I don't believe in Jesus, I will be condemned. And old Dr. Lee said to him, sir, I'm sorry, my language is so puny. You are already condemned. And John 3:18 says, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I don't know where many of you stand, but I know when I went away to college, in my first year, I met some guys in the dorm. I remember there's a fellow down the hall, he claimed to be an atheist. And I really began to have doubts because he was a very smart fellow. And I began to have real doubts if I knew the Lord. I'd made a decision when I was young. I had to come to the point where I really faced it. Do I really know Jesus Christ? Or did I just grow up in the church and make the sounds that other people make? And so I had to come to the point when one night I walked outside my dorm and said, God, I really do believe this. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe He died on the cross for me. I thought I'd become a Christian years ago. I'd joined a church. I'd been baptized. But I don't really know if I died tonight, if I'd go spend eternity with You. And Lord, I can't save myself. You've made that very clear. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. There's no way I can save myself. And so, Lord, I just want to tell You, if I'm not a Christian tonight, I want to be one. I want You to forgive me my sins and come into my life. Now, I prayed. I waited for something to happen. I didn't have any particular feeling, but I knew I'd done what God had asked me to do. Now, I woke up the next morning, and I still didn't know if I was a Christian. And I said, now, Lord, if I didn't mean it last night, I mean it this morning. I want to be a Christian. And then that night I prayed and I said, God, if I didn't mean it this morning and last night, I mean it tonight. I really want to be a Christian. But I had no assurance. And I had a Bible. The Gideons had placed a Bible in each room at Texas A&M. And I began to read that Bible. And over a period of time, as I read the Bible, I began to get to know God, and those doubts left, and never have they returned. Now, I don't know where you are tonight, but I hope before you leave this place tonight, if you're not sure, God wants you to be sure. There's no better way to get started off right in college than knowing that you know Jesus Christ. If you're not sure, you can invite Him to come into your life. You know, just like I did, I said, now, God, if You saved me years ago, I want to thank You for it because I really don't know, but I want to know. And you can ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, come into your life. It's not a matter of where you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, whatever, Hindu, whatever. It's a matter, have you invited Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior and Lord? And the word believe means the Greek word in the New Testament in which it was written, where it talks about believing in Christ, it's not like, I believe in Abraham Lincoln. You know, I believe there was a man, Abraham Lincoln, but it doesn't change my life. The word believe means a commitment to. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, that means you come to the point where you believe He died for your sins, and as best you know how, you make a commitment to Him of your life, to forgive you of your sins and come in. Now, if you will do that, He promised He would come in. You can do it right where you sit. You can just ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. He promised He would. Now, what are we about? We've said that our purpose is to know God. You know what our purpose is here at the Baptist Student Center with the staff and all of us? Our purpose in being here is to help you know God in a real personal way. Now let me tell you, there's going to be some hindrances in your getting to know God. In the first place, the thing Satan does not want with you, he does not want you to know God. Now the Bible says those that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. That's about Daniel 10:12. If you know God, God has promised to do great things with you. And He wants to use every one of us because He has a purpose for us. And our purpose is to help you get to know God. There's going to be some hindrances. Some of the hindrances you'll face in college will be just activity. There's a lot going on. You go around the dorm about midnight and you'd think there's a three-ring circus going on, right? There's always something going on. One of the things that can be a hindrance to you will be things in your own room. It can be your computer. Playing games, always playing with your computer. That which God has given us can be a tremendous blessing. But a lot of you, as you look at the time you spend in the Word, the time you spend in the prayer, the time you play with your computer, and it does not even compare. And so you're going to have to watch that. Another thing can be TV. TV in your room. You know, in which you just spend a lot of time with that. If you're going to get to know God, there are no shortcuts. You're going to have to spend time with Him. You're going to have to spend time in the Bible. You're going to go through some lonely times. There are going to be some times when maybe your friends are doing other things and you need to go back. Maybe you have an hour between class and you can just go to your room, lock your door, get your Bible, and read it. But you're going to have to watch out. You know, another big area with college students is goof-off time. I remember the speaker we have coming to speak to us when we go over spring break to Glorietta's, Harold Bullock. He said, you know, the number one priority of most college students, number one priority is their goof-off time. Now, we need some downtime. We need some time to relax. We need to see a ball game tomorrow night, right? I mean, that's perfectly legitimate. We need to have some fun. We are going to have some fun in life. But watch it, feeling like I owe it to myself. After all, I went to class for an hour today. I ought to be able to goof off for a couple of hours. And we kind of reward ourselves with goof off time. Watch out. You can get to know God. There will be some students at the University of Oklahoma this year that will come to know God in an unusual way. It'll be students who spend time in prayer. They'll have a quiet time. They will discipline themselves every day to read the Bible, to pray. They'll come to meetings like this. They'll discipline themselves. No one ever got to know God but what they discipline themselves. And so work on the area of discipline. Getting to know your God. You will have a tremendous life if you get to know God. Do you know God wants to lead you as to who to marry? Do you know today in America, about 50% of the people that get married, close to it, will get a divorce? Do you know God wants to lead you to someone that you can make a commitment to until death parts you? God wants you to, He does not want you to make a mistake in that area. Do you know God knows exactly the job you ought to have and God will lead you to that job? God will lead you in every area of life. You cannot believe the joy you will experience in life if you make your number one priority to know your God. Now, we said our purpose is to help you to know God. And not only that, but then we want to help you pass it on to others. What it says is, this is Bob Anderson. He says, I was discipled by Max Barnett. Dave Edwards says, I was discipled by Bob Anderson. Richard Murphy, I was discipled by Dave Edwards. Rusty Bean, I was discipled by Richard Murphy. And it doesn't stop there.
He really challenged me just by the way he lived his life. And I, by the way I saw him live, I figured out that I wanted to live like him. So I went and I asked him for help. I asked him to disciple me. And that man has changed my life. And now he's over in Illinois. But by him investing time in my life and teaching me everything he knew about God, I am a completely different person.
And I'm discipled by Aaron, and I become a Christian on January 3rd of this year, and I do not know how to grow more besides just knowing that God changed my life. And through Aaron being around like my big brother for the first 2 months, I was being a Christian. I know that's a person who I want to learn to how to become a Christian and how to know how I can have a more intimate way with God. And Aaron discipled me since March of this year, and really it had changed my life, and really I learn Bible a lot more than what I would have thought, and a lot of stuff I don't understand, there's a person who I can always go to.
And what we're interested in, once you get to know the Lord, is helping you be able to pass that on to others. Now, all through the Scriptures, we see this idea of once we know Jesus Christ, it's our job to pass it on to someone else. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:2, "The things you heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And one of the things that you will receive help in doing is you learn to have a quiet time, you can share that with someone else. As you begin to memorize and get the Word of God in your life, God will put people around you. You can share with them, and then they can grow and help someone else. And the way the gospel spread, and the reason we sit here tonight, many of us as believers in Jesus Christ, is because that's what happened in the first century. They had no radio. They had no printing press. They didn't have TV. They didn't have the means of transportation and all this that we have. But the gospel spread because, as Kenneth Scott Latourette, one of the greatest American historians, wrote, the way the gospel spread in the first century is as every layman made his job his pulpit. And they began to share the gospel with others. And the gospel goes on and on and on. Now that's why we're here. We would like for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world to have the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ. When we come week by week, and we had a little problem with some of our equipment tonight, we're going to take one of the missionaries that's from OU and pray for them. And last summer, there were 33 OU students out on mission fields in different places. You will have the opportunity while you're here to go to some other countries. We'll have a group of students going over Christmas to China and possibly Cambodia. Now, we want to help you to grow in every way we possibly can, so that wherever God leads you the rest of your life, you will know how to walk with God. People around you's lives can be changed because you know how to take what you've learned and pass it on to someone else. That's why we're here. Now let's pray together. Father, thank you for every person that's here. I thank you for their willingness to take their time to come. And Father, I pray that tonight many who are not sure where they stand would come to the point where they ask you into their life. And Father, that you will help all of us to love each other, to hang together, to grow, to pay the price together to become the men and women you want us to be, such that someday, Father, we can have happy marriages. We can raise godly families. We can help people on the jobs where we work. We can help get this gospel that so changed our lives to other people in all parts of the world. Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus that we could have an abundant life here on this earth and eternity with him. Because we prayed in Jesus' name, amen.